morning, and welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Marisa DeMarco, a reporter with the Public Health New Mexico Project. And today we're talking about seasonal allergies in the state. The winds have picked up and pollen is spreading, leaving people with runny noses, itchy eyes, and irritated airways. But what's really going on with the plants inside your bodies? That's what we'll be talking about this hour. And we want to hear from you. How bad does it get for you? What's working and what isn't? Give us a call at 277-5866 if you're in Albuquerque, or toll free at 877-899-5866. We've got a great panel of guests here today to answer your questions from a variety of perspectives, including Dr. Reba Eagles of Original Medicine, Dr. Monica Lucero of Red Root Acupuncture and Herbs, and Dr. Richard Walks, an allergist and immunologist with Breathe America. Good morning, Dr. Walks.
Good morning.
As a physician, you've been in this field for over a decade, right? Why do we get allergies? What's happening in our bodies?
Well, in a percentage of people, the immune system, when it sees what should be benign proteins and pollens, will create an allergic reaction. It sees them and mistakes them for something that's not benign. So it creates a reaction of what we all experience when we have allergies: itchy eyes, itchy nose, due to a release of histamine in the body. And in more severe cases, can actually cause problems with the breathing and asthma, and just make people feel generally miserable.
And I read also that that asthma is considered an allergy. Is that right?
Well, it's part of what we call the atopic person. There's several different things that can be affected by allergies. The typical nasal allergies, asthma, even eczema can be triggered by allergies.
And now, how serious can it get for some folks?
Well, allergies themselves, nasal and rhinitis, I consider a quality of life issue. These type of allergies are not the type that will kill you, but the quality of life can be quite severe. And when they compare patients who have heart disease and diabetes and allergies, quality of life in the allergic patients tends to be the worst.
And so we're talking a little bit about the ways that allergies complicate other conditions. Can you describe that for a little bit?
Well, we already talked about how allergies can trigger asthma symptoms, which can be dangerous. People with migraines typically have worse problems during the allergy season, and it just causes ongoing fatigue if it's affecting the sleep, and can affect your function in general.
What kind of treatments do people come to you for?
Well, generally, a lot of treatments right now are over-the-counter for allergies. Basic antihistamines, some of the nasal steroids are now available over-the-counter. There's some additional medications that we can use, leukotriene inhibitors, and stronger nasal steroids and combination medications. And then ultimately we have different injectables. The most commonly used is the immunotherapy, where we reset the body's response to the allergens. And there's also some other injectables that are further down the line.
Now, there's some folks who over-the-counter medications don't really work for, right?
That's correct. Sometimes it's because their allergies are beyond what those medications can handle, and sometimes it's because they're not being used correctly. So a lot of, frequently, if I find patients are not being controlled well over-the-counter, they should seek care in order to see if they're doing it right or if there's more that needs to be done.
Now, here's the question. Why do some people get allergies and other people don't?
Well, we could have a whole show just based on that. Basically, the body's immune system has two sides, and we all live kind of in the middle between the two sides, but we lean in one direction or the other. People who lean in what's called the T1 direction generally do not get allergies, but people who are leaning in the T2 side will have more allergy problems, anything from seasonal allergies to asthma to food allergies and those sort of things.
Now, what is T1 and T2?
It's a type of T cell, one of the immune system cells, the T1 cells and T2 cells, and which one predominates in the system. Everybody has both, but it's which one predominates.
Now, you're kind of new to the area, right?
Yes,
just moved to New Mexico. You've been practicing here for a couple of weeks, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And where do you come from?
From New Jersey.
And have you noticed any big differences in allergy season here?
Actually, there's a very big difference. In this area, the predominant allergen is juniper, and that runs through from the fall through the winter into the spring. In New Jersey, we have more definitive spring and then fall when it comes to the pollens. Here, we're dealing with it year-round. So New Mexico residents have the potential to suffer from pollen allergies all year round.
All right. We've got Dr. Monica Lucero of Red Root Acupuncture and Herbs here, too. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning.
So give us a rundown of your background and the kind of healing you practice.
Sure. So I'm a doctor of Oriental medicine. That's my formal training. And I also have been practicing traditional medicine from an early age. My family, my Nana was a traditional healer, and so she used herbal remedies and different treatments all throughout our lives and for our family. And so a lot of those rich traditions of what we do here in New Mexico were passed along to me. And so yeah, we have an herb shop over on Rio Grande and Matthew. So we have a full selection of herbs and things that we do and a whole different variety of resources and things that we rely on to help people feel better.
So you've lived in New Mexico all your life,
all
right?
All my life.
So what are some tried and true local solutions for curbing seasonal allergy symptoms?
Sure. So if you talk to a lot of, especially norteños, you know, they'll talk a lot about osha and hierba del manso. And those are actually two herbs that, you know, can be very helpful. They're not, you know, specific just to allergies, but they are things that can help with cough and to help move a lot of the mucus. When we think about herbs and what's appropriate, you know, it's a person-by-person basis. And so to say, okay, well, how is this allergy actually presenting for this person? You know, and in traditional medicine, traditional Mesoamerican medicine or curanderismo, you know, in those practices, we, just like Chinese medicine, look at hot and cold. So does your allergies, are they presenting more as a heat pathogen or a cold pathogen? And thereby we tease out the herbs and say, okay, well, this formula would be better for you or this herb would be better for you. So that's some of it. And then, of course, you know, there's the old age, you know, the age old remedies that Nana used to give us, you know, ponte vaporuay, you know, the Vicks vapor rub, you know, that's one of our favorites to talk about. And how did that develop? Well, they saw that it worked and they saw that there was, you know, the potential for healing there. And so we do variants of that. We use more oils, less petroleum-based products, you know, with the herbs like eucalyptus, like the malos that start to open up the lungs, hierba santa, hierba del manso. So there's a whole plethora of herbs. I was writing a list this morning and I was like, oh, this is not going to happen. Like, go on forever.
So do you think there are natural ways for people to fend off allergies long term? Like maybe build up kind of an immunity or something that helps, you know, keep them at bay before allergy season hits or before it gets really crazy?
Absolutely. There's definitely, number one is diet. So thinking about what produces phlegm in the body, because anytime that there's phlegm, there's going to be more inflammatory process. So which foods are inflammatory, which, you know, things in your daily diet. And also, what are you looking at in your home environment? You know, what are allergens that are being brought in? Oftentimes there's simple things like, you know, everybody says, oh, well, you know, I try and reduce all the allergens, but then here come the pets inside and they're not thinking about like dusting off the pets or putting on an overcoat if they're really allergic, you know. So some of those simple kind of things that can prevent, a lot of it is truly prevention. And of course, we often think of bee pollen, right? That's one of the remedies that we hear a lot about. And truly that's creating like almost like a vaccination, if you will, not exactly in Western terms how that would be considered, but it's introducing the pathogens themselves. So the body begins to get used to it. And whether through honey or through bee pollen, you can start to get the body to recognize those. So it starts to stave them off early on.
And I've heard that too, the bee pollen and the honey, and it has to be local honey,
local
right? Like
honey.
From local bees. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. With traditional herbalists, we think a lot about like being local. So you look at the local herbs around you, but also definitely the pollens. The local bees are going to pick up all of the pathogens, all of the allergies that are, you know, starting to plague people. So once they're there, you know, introducing that little bit to the body, and it has to be done in a stepwise fashion. You know, I would never say to somebody, oh, go and take a big tablespoon of bee pollen. I actually tried that when I was really young, the biggest mistake I made in my life. I got really sick. But, you know, now my allergies don't bother me, and that is one of the things that I do for myself to prevent it.
So you think now for you personally, your allergies have kind of disappeared, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while when it's really high, like I think it was a couple of days ago when everything was just blowing through. I mean, just the amount of dirt and dust, period, is bound to get us, you know, kind of in that allergic state or reactionary state. But knowing how to take care of those things, knowing how to prevent some of the symptoms that are coming up can really be helpful.
And when you're talking about herbal solutions, like how do people ingest that? Is it primarily as a tea or as a tincture, or what ways do you recommend?
Yeah, those are two great ways, actually. And also, so definitely teas, making an infusion. In Chinese medicine, they're actually called soups. So they're all called tongs, which is equivalent to a soup. So you would make like an allergy soup. Actually, adding herbs to your food, too. You think of grandmother's chicken noodle soup. Well, you'd add thyme, you know, you'd add tarragon, you know, you add all of these herbs, ginger, you know, to kind of get the immune system going and help it do what it needs to do best, get rid of some of the excess mucus and things. But we also talk a lot about vapors of, you know, los vapores. We would have somebody cover themselves, you know, with a towel and actually breathe in the steam of different herbs to get it into the lungs, moistening the lungs, stopping dry cough, things along those lines. And also topically, we'll use oils or even a poultice if it's really bad, but eye washes as well to kind of clear things out and, you know, the whole gamut, even using herbs as like an inhalant. So using it like a saline spray, but using the herbs like that, or using it in a neti pot is also another very effective way of clearing all the pathogens out.
All right, listeners, what's your experience with seasonal allergies? Did you always have them, or did they just pop up in adulthood? What do you do this time of year to keep symptoms in check? Call now and tell us about it. 505-277-5866 or toll-free 877-899-5866. You can also post to our Facebook page. Find us on Facebook by searching for KUNM Radio. Okay, well, I want to talk a little bit to Dr. Reba Eagles of Original Medicine Acupuncture and Wellness. Dr. Eagles, tell us about acupuncture and how it might help some people coping with allergies.
Acupuncture is unlike what we're used to thinking. It's rather than something that moves qi or an energy blockage, which is a traditional thought, actually acupuncture is a vasodilator. So it opens up the blood vessels and allows more blood to flow. One of the areas in the body that has the least amount of vasculature is the sinuses. So if you use acupuncture as a way to open up those blood vessels and allow more blood to flow, you can get all the oxygen and nutrients and anti-inflammatories and the things that the body needs to heal itself. But it also, because blood also carries away waste, it will help to move out the congestion. So you can use it for symptomatic relief very well. The only problem with acupuncture using that, while studies show that it's very effective for allergies, the problem is that you would have to do it very frequently and for long term in order to have any long lasting effect, which it makes it very cost prohibitive. So incorporating other tools in the toolkit, like using the herbal medicine, using nutrition, using we do a lot of laboratory testing, so we kind of incorporate Eastern and Western into how we're going to address it.
Yeah, so you're saying, like, you can't just get one acupuncture treatment and then you're set for however long, right? It has to be something you kind of go get maintenance on.
I would say that all three of us have been asked for a magic pill all the time. And unfortunately, you know, the Lone Ranger still is the only one with a silver bullet.
Nice. So you were talking a little bit, you offer a blending of kind of Eastern and Western medicine at your clinic. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that works?
Well, our purpose is not only to relieve the symptoms. I mean, that's very important when someone's suffering to help them with the symptoms. But our purpose at our clinic is to, through a very comprehensive wellness examination and equally comprehensive laboratory analysis, we're able to determine what's the underlying cause of these symptoms. Why is the immune system overreacting? What's going on in the body? Is there inflammation in the gut? I mean, the gut biome is the you know, new buzzword in the medical community, but it's very true. A lot of issues can originate there. So wherever it is in the body, our purpose is to determine what that is so that we can correct that imbalance and increase the function of the body so that it's back in that realm where, you know, we live inside of a natural healing mechanism. And so if the function is compromised below the body's ability to recover and maintain health, then our purpose is to figure out where the malfunction is, increase that function, and then the body takes care of itself.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're talking about seasonal allergies in New Mexico today. This is the KUNM Call-In Show, and I'm your host, Marisa DeMarco, with KUNM's Public Health New Mexico Project. We're going to take a quick break.
This week on This American Life, Shinseng Ak was a movie director, and things were going amazing because his producer never said no. Like once he asked for a model train to blow up for a film, and instead,
he was given a real train packed with explosives on rails. And if he asked for a wind machine, he was sent helicopters.
What kind of producer would greenlight that? One who is also son of a dictator. That's this week.
Sunday afternoons at 4 on KUNM.
Some bugs that live on you might be good news for paleontologists. Can you guess which bugs they are?
I think most people don't realize, but we actually have two species of mites, microscopic mites, that actually live on our faces, actually all over our bodies.
The science of face mites and other tiny critters living on and around us all on the next Big Picture Science.
Sunday morning at 11 on 89.9 KUNM.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Marisa DeMarco. Allergist and immunologist Dr. Richard Walks is here today, along with Dr. Monica Lucero of Red Root and Dr. Reba Eagles of Original Medicine, Acupuncture, and Wellness. So we were talking before the break about the body's kind of natural healing abilities, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little more about that, about how allergies and the body's natural healing ability interact?
Well, Dr. Vox was also talking about that because of the way our immune system works, and with allergies, when those pathogens are continually assaulting the body, even though they're at a certain level benign, after a while the body can't tell the difference, and so an overreaction will occur, and so. What our function is to figure out what is causing that body to overreact and how can we help reduce the stresses in the body that are causing the immune system to react inappropriately.
So what kind of treatments do you offer at your clinic? And we've talked a little bit about acupuncture, but you do a range of things there, right?
Absolutely. We do. We use acupuncture, which is really the best first tool for structural or pain kinds of things. But when you begin to look at the inside of the body and internal organ imbalances, as Dr. Lucero was talking about, herbal medicines are really a much better first approach because while they also are vasodilators, just like acupuncture, they have the added capacity to carry specific nutrients to specific areas of the body. So we have a very extensive compounding pharmacy. We use, we don't use the whole herbs as much. We have ours already pre-cooked, and so we have granules that we custom mix for people, but we also do a lot of nutritional work. We do a lot of nutritional supplementation. We do lots of education and with our patients and we do coaching and mentoring so that if a person comes to our clinic, our goal is, as I said, to determine what are the underlying causes, and through treatments and supplementation and nutrition and education, we're able to put together a treatment program that can last, depending on the person's level of illness, a few months more. But in that process, not only do they get healing and correction in the function of their body, but they get a lot of lifestyle changes and tools in their own personal toolkit so they can walk away with health and their life back.
We're going to take a call from Jean in Albuquerque. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning.
What's your question for us today?
My question is for Dr. Ross. He talked about T1 and T2 dominance, and I wonder if that has implications for vulnerability to other diseases such as cancer, autoimmune disorders, or just, you know, run-of-the-mill colds and bacterial infections.
Well, when you're talking about the immune system, the T1 and the T2 are just a small part of an immense immune system with multiple parts. When you're talking about T1 and T2, we look at some disease processes that may be predominant on one side or the other. When you're talking about autoimmune diseases, they tend to lean more T1, where the allergies are more T2. When you're talking about some of these other things like cancers, it's difficult to pinpoint into those two small parts of the immune system because the cancers can attack on multiple levels in multiple different areas. So I think to look at just the T1 predominance or T2 predominance when it comes to illness is missing the big picture for looking at little parts of it.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. So listeners, we want to hear from you. What's working for you? Do you use over-the-counter medications? Do you use herbal remedies? Do you seek acupuncture treatments? Give us a call at 277-5866 or 877-899-5866. Toll free. So I want to tackle that a little bit. There's some advantages and disadvantages of over-the-counter medications, right? Like some folks report having a really zoomy feeling when they take them or a really drowsy feeling when they take them. Dr. Walks, what do you think are some of the things that people need to be aware of when they're taking over-the-counter medications?
Well, first of all, the over-the-counter medications, the most commonly used are the antihistamines, and there are different classes of those. Some are the short-acting ones, like best known as Benadryl, which will give some relief to the symptoms but have some significant side effects of sedation, and some people actually the paradoxical reaction of feeling wired on them. They only last a few hours and need to be dosed frequently. The longer-acting antihistamines, cetirizine, loratadine, they have less sedation, but people have different levels of reactivity to it, so some will have some sedation with those as well. The newer over-the-counter nasal steroids are pretty much what we were prescribing prior to going over-the-counter, are fairly well-tolerated, but some people will have some side effects of that, nasal bleeds, and just some people complain of a foggy feeling with those. When people are having issues with those, we definitely suggest getting evaluation. We offer much more than just the symptom relief. The over-the-counters are basically just treating symptoms. They're not treating underlying disease. In our office, we offer immunotherapy, which is a way to reset the immune system to see these allergens as benign. So it's similar to some of the things my colleagues were talking about, where with the immunotherapy, we test to see what somebody's specifically allergic to and make a sera for that allergen. And then we will dilute it down and start injections once to twice a week, building up over time to reset the immune system so that they'll see these allergens as what they are, just benign proteins in the environment.
So you can pinpoint exactly which pollen it is that somebody might be allergic to during like seasonal allergy time, and then you start giving them that pollen, like little bit by little bit? Is
yes,
that how it works?
That's exactly it. The skin testing we do, there's also some blood tests that can be done as well if we don't have those specific pollens. We also test for environmental things like allergen, cat or dog allergens, cockroaches, dust mites, anything in the environment that can trigger allergic symptoms. And once we know what somebody has specific IgE for, we'll go ahead and mix that serum specifically for that patient's allergies. It's not a one for everybody. It's very specialized to that individual.
All right, we're going to take a call from Carl in Santa Fe. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. I have a question that I hope isn't indelicate, but I couldn't tell when my symptoms came on whether I was catching a cold or dealing with allergies, and the two may even have overlapped. And whatever it is, it's getting better, but I still will have signs of phlegm coming up, greenish mucus, and I don't know if that's a sign that there's something deeper going on than the allergy, and I ought to be treating that. And so I guess that's my question.
Yeah, I guess that's a really common question, right? Like, people are never sure what they're dealing with.
Exactly.
Yeah. When I'm seeing patients, my rule of thumb is trying to determine, is this a cold or is this an allergy, has a lot to do with time. If somebody's been dealing with symptoms, then it lasts for 5, 7, even 10 days and then is resolving on its own, the likelihood it's an allergen is very small, because allergies go for a season. Pollens are out there for many weeks at a time. But when I have a patient who comes in complaining that they've had a cold for the last 4 or 5 weeks, we have to have a discussion about maybe it's not a cold.
Do you guys have any other telltale signs that it's a cold or allergies? Dr. Biba?
Time as well, and sometimes getting people to understand that they have allergies when they're very certain that they don't and they never have before, so it couldn't possibly. It's a difficult transition, and sometimes it's hard for people to want to accept that there's something that probably is going on deeper and that needs to be addressed more than just please give me symptom relief.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, you know, looking at also is there heat involved? If there starts to produce, you know, fever or something like that, then you're thinking, okay, more than likely that's more likely cold. Like you say, the allergens can be something that's kind of low grade in the background, that's an annoyance, that's coming and coming and coming, and it's less of a big mounting reaction of the immune system to try and say, okay, there's a huge pathogen here, let's get it out. So definitely. Also, mucus color is helpful.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I was latching onto what Dr. Biba said about it being hard to accept sometimes. Like, I have lived here my whole life, and the last couple of years I had allergies, and I never had allergies before. So, and I was like, what's the deal with that? And of course, at first I was like, no, this is not allergies. I don't have allergies. But I guess I do. So how does that happen? How do
you get them? Everybody's immune system is eventually going to... is going to degrade. And so it doesn't matter whether you've never had allergies in your life. At some point, if the immune system is not strong enough, and so we all three have ways that we address the immune system to strengthen it, and that's at some point what you're just realizing is, maybe the standard American diet has caught up with a person. Maybe environmental toxins have caught up with a person. Maybe it's a combination of many different things, but at some point the immune system just loses its mind and starts, friendly fire.
In addition, the immune system's constantly changing. You're always being exposed to new pathogens, and the job of the immune system is to constantly look for new problems. And every now and then, a person will produce an antibody or a response to something that it hadn't responded to before. And so people can develop an allergy to anything at any point in their life. So the comment you made of, I've never had allergies before, is something I think I hear on a daily basis multiple times, because if you had the allergy before, you would have been seeing us much sooner.
Right.
And if I can just add to that as well,
sure.
I think the other factor that definitely plays in is stress. So oftentimes if somebody says, oh, well, I've never had allergies before. Okay, well, has there been a recent event? Are you going through midterms or finals? Did you have the loss of somebody? Because, in Chinese medicine and traditional medicine, we also look at the lungs as a part of, a whole system, but it's an energetic medicine as well. So the lungs hold grief and that emotion of grief. And so if a person is having a hard time, they're feeling, that lack of inspiration or the inability to actually perfuse through their day with some of those emotions as well, you can look at that. And with Chinese medicine, acupuncture, you can actually help to bring that organ system back into balance and to relieve some of the stress.
All right, super interesting. We're also going to talk a little bit about the botany behind allergy season. So on the phone, we've got Professor Tim Lowry from the University of New Mexico. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
What can you tell us about what the plants are doing right now?
Well, it's generally our season, whenever it warms up in the spring, we start with the junipers and the cypress, which are conifers. And they're all wind-pollinated. And we have numerous cultivated ones besides the native ones that are growing in the Sandias and in the foothills. So they can produce pollen over a period of time. And then as the season progresses, right now we're getting mulberries, the cottonwoods, and this will progress into different species throughout the spring and the summer. In the summer, we'll get kochia or summer cypress, which is not a native, but which causes major problems for people. And then there are also grasses that some people may be allergic to. So there's a whole group of different kinds of wind-pollinated plants. I must say that there are some plants that get a bad reputation, like goldenrod, which is not wind-pollinated and does not cause allergies unless you stick the flowers up your nose. But they're pollinated by insects, so they do not cause allergies.
Right, so as long as you don't stick goldenrod right in your nose, you'll be
you're okay. You could grow it in your garden. But the other plants, the wind-pollinated ones, are the ones that cause the major allergies people have to deal with. And as you can probably hear in my voice, I'm dealing with a cold virus and not an allergy.
So, I mean, let's talk a little bit of basics. Why do plants create pollen?
Well, they're plants evolve to reproduce. I mean, one of the important things, like all organisms, is reproduction. And so the pollen is the male portion of the life cycle that will be transported to the female, and then it lands on the, if it's a flower, it will land on the stigma part of the flower and then put out a pollen tube. And then it will carry the sperm down to the egg. So it's part of the reproductive cycle of the plants.
And has the plant environment in the state changed much in recent decades to increase or decrease allergies?
Yes, it has changed. It's to increase. Any disturbance, such as in urban areas, in combination with bringing in exotic plants, and there are a lot of weeds that we now have to contend with in New Mexico, has all served to create a much worse environment for people with allergies. There's a lot more wind-pollinated plants that have been brought in. And you do have to be careful about what cultivated plants that you're planting, such as different kinds of wind-pollinated plants.
So you're saying that people have brought in more plants that pollinate via wind?
That's right. And some of them not intentionally, such as summer cypress, which is a weed. There have been a lot of weedy plants brought in with hay, and not recently, but in the past century. And often these plants, they will become established, but they won't spread. They have to become acclimatized, but once they do, they will spread and become weedy, and then they also become a major problem.
And cottonwood is not native to New Mexico, right?
Cottonwood is native.
Oh, it is native to New Mexico.
Yes. So the Rio Grande cottonwood is it's a particular subspecies that is found in the Rio Grande Valley, and then in the Gila, there's a different species. But they are all native. Now, there are some poplars. The poplars that people plant in their gardens are not native. They're European. And they're also wind-pollinated.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Professor Tim Lowry. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're going to take a call from Bob in Albuquerque. Good morning, Bob.
Thank you. I'm just wondering if anybody on the panel would have suggestions for detoxing from black mold exposure.
Yeah, does anyone have any suggestions?
Yes, we've had several patients we've had to do that with. And so detox is a really important component for how we treat people. But we have had some experience and utilizing, again, a whole body approach. But there are products that we have used that have been pretty successful.
Okay. Does anyone else have any suggestions for black mold exposure?
I think definitely looking at the environment. So first of all, looking at the home and saying, okay, has this actually been eradicated? And anything where the spores may have been in contact with is very important to start to remove those from the environment so that it doesn't continue to produce an allergen. But one of the herbal remedies that I think of that can help to decrease inflammation, but it also helps to detoxify the body and strengthen the immune system is turmeric. It's very anti-inflammatory, and so that's definitely one of the ways, but I would think a lot to actually start to move things not only from the lungs, so to work on the lung system, but also the liver system, because when the liver is inundated with toxins, you know, it's going to have a harder time trying to clean and cleanse the blood. So I would think to take some of those approaches with it.
Okay. But, yeah, absolutely. Is the caller still there?
No, I think she might be gone, but she's probably still listening.
Yeah. I just was wondering if the person is still in the same environment, and because a lot of times the treatments that are used are effective, but they don't always get it all. So, and it's difficult to find mold detection, and you know some of the ways they detect mold can be, you know, like if they're just looking for mold in the air or even mold in the space or in the wall, there's a lot to it, and we've put a lot of investigation into it. So some of the things, but, you know, as Dr. Lucero was saying, it's a whole body. There's things in many parts of your body that have to be detoxed.
All right. Well, listeners, we want to hear from you today, too. We've got a panel of experts who can talk about both natural remedies and other medical options for seasonal allergies. What do you want to know? Call in with your questions. We're talking about allergy season in New Mexico today. This is the KUNM Call-In Show, and I'm Marisa DeMarco. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hank the truck had served so well, hauled everything, helped friends to move, went on adventures in the mountains. Basically, Hank had become a longtime friend. But when at last Hank couldn't run anymore, his owner decided in one last magnanimous gesture to make Hank's end have meaning. She donated Hank where his essence lives on in another friend, KUNM. You too can help two friends. Call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
Listening to a duet for harp and guitar, but which is which?
Sometimes it's really hard to tell. It's like the two instruments become like one big, larger instrument.
The unique duo of guitarist Jason Vio and harpist Yolanda Condonasis join us for music and conversation. I'm Fred Child. Hope you can join us as well for the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Marisa DeMarco, and we're talking about allergies. Do you have any tips for coping with seasonal allergies? Do you really struggle this time of year? Call now, 277-5866 in Albuquerque, or toll-free long distance, 877-899-5866. Joining us today are Dr. Reba Eagles of Original Medicine, Dr. Monica Lucero of Red Root Acupuncture and Herbs, and Dr. Richard Walks, an allergist and immunologist with Breathe America. We're going to take a call from Nance in Albuquerque. Good morning, Nance.
Good morning. I am so grateful that you have such a diversity of experience and hope here for people with allergies. I never had them until I came to New Mexico, and I just wanted to add to the discussion of windborne pollens and to say that it's very important that the landscaping and urban planners talk to the health professionals, because for years they insisted on planting only male mulberries. Well, that results in and very few different diversity of species. So you get this overload of this intense pollen, and the same with junipers. And mulberries are one of those plants that have male and female on separate plants, and so you get the wonderful healthy antioxidant fruit from the female mulberries, but they eat up your carpane if they happen to be planted there. And then you get the you get too much pollen from the males. And so it's really important to plant a diversity of trees and flowers and to avoid things that are, you know, producing a lot of pollen. So I'm really glad about that. And I do something that hasn't been mentioned. When the mulberry season gets bad enough, I put on a mask for when I'm, you know, just a dust mask. And it helps significantly reduce the amount of pollen that gets into my body. And I don't have to take much in the way of drugs or even herbal remedies. And the other thing I do, though, is I diffuse lavender oil, very good organic lavender oil that I know the source of, and I diffuse that at night, and it just seems to help a lot with reducing the symptoms. In fact, even though the mulberry's out now, I'm not reacting to it. So those are a couple of things I've tried, and I hope I'm really grateful for your show.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks for your comments and your suggestions. We're going to take another question from Javier in Albuquerque. Good morning, Javier.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What's your question for us today?
My question is the relationship of exercise and allergies.
Mm-hmm. So, like, does exercise help prevent allergies?
Yeah, does it help prevent it? I know exercise, you know, has positive effects for the immune system, so that's my intuitive answer, is it boosts the immune system, so maybe it aids the fight against allergies, but I'd just like to hear their input, and it's mm-hmm. to any one of the three or yourself.
Okay, great. What do you guys know? What do you guys know about exercise and allergies?
Well, it's really important, as he said, to increase the immune system, and it's one of the five main pillars of health that we work with. So, but you know, the important thing to not cause further stress, as Dr. Lucero was saying, is are you exercising at the right time of day for your body? Are you doing the right type of exercise? So there's a lot of information that can be gathered from an individual person to help them determine what's going to be the best way for them to build their immune system with exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. In addition, exercise is an excellent way to build up the immune system, as we were mentioning. However, how you exercise and where you exercise might be important as well. If you're a runner and you decide to go out running during the peak of the pollen, it might actually be detrimental to exercise. The exercise itself is good, but be careful about when and how you're doing it.
I think that's a great point, and definitely if you are going out, cover up if that's the only way to do it. But you know, one of the things that I like to think about is again with the exercise, you're really strengthening your lungs. And so, you know, one of the things, if you start moving and you start to do a walk or something along those lines, you know, your body is going to open up the lungs and start to move that fluid through, start to move those pathogens, start to clear the lungs. You'll notice once you start really getting going, you know, you start to cough up all this junk, and that's really, you know, helpful to your body. You're getting rid of the excess, and also you're stimulating the movement of your lymph. The lymph system itself doesn't have a pumping mechanism like the veins do. It kind of flows along with the veins, but in that, you know, is that constant walking or kind of pounding down, you know, is going to help to stimulate that immune system and work with the thymus to start to get things moving. So, very effective.
All right, great. Thanks for your call, Javier. We're going to take a call now from Jackie in Santa Fe. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. I was going to say that the thing that really works for me is the neti pot.
Yes.
And I was actually going to respond to what the last caller had just asked about, which is that exercise has a really great temporary effect in fighting allergies, but it doesn't necessarily have to do with your immune system. It's more because you're producing adrenaline. So if you go, I have really horrible allergies right now, but I can go mountain biking. And while I'm mountain biking, you know, in the midst of all the pollen, I'm fine because my adrenaline is pumping so hard. And that actually sort of keeps the allergies at bay until I stop. and that's when I have to do the neti pot, because I've literally filled my nose up so much with so much pollen that I need to flush it out.
Is that in line with what you guys know about this?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. And in addition to using the neti pot, I recommend if somebody's been outside for a period of time, first thing they do when they get home is change and shower. In addition to the pollen that's in your nose, you have it in your hair and on your skin. So getting it out of the environment as quickly as possible is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just do a really simple regimen where I just put warm water in the neti pot and about a quarter teaspoon of salt and a quarter teaspoon of baking soda and mix it all up. And my boyfriend calls it waterboarding, but it really works. And he does a regimen of three different drugs, and I actually get away with the allergy season much better off than he does with all the drugs.
I'd just like to make a point. When using the neti pot, make sure it's distilled water. Using tap water can actually introduce other pathogens.
Other bacteria. Mm-hmm.
Great. And when you started talking about the neti pot, all three of the doctors in here started nodding vigorously. It seems to be useful in all practices, right?
Mm-hmm. With a caveat, and that's that you can actually overuse a neti pot and aggravate inflammation. So you'll think your allergy symptoms are worse, but actually it's just inflammation that you've caused by overusing that. And as Dr. Vox said, potentially if you're using something that has bacteria in it already or pathogens, then you're going to make things worse.
All right. We're going to take a call now from Anna in Albuquerque. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
What's your question for us today?
My question is, I saw an allergist last year and got the patch test, had severe allergies where my face became inflamed, red, like cherry red, my neck. They couldn't figure out what it was, did a patch test over 5 days and found that I was not allergic to anything. So they ended up giving me a steroid shot, which, of course, cleared everything up within a couple of days, and then a year goes by, and here we are this year, and I'm right back where I started again. Severe allergies, swollen eyes, swollen face, red. I mean, like a rash on my face and neck. So that's where I'm a little bit trying to figure out the next step.
I would say that we need to look at the toxin level in your body, because...
Okay.
Because rashes, and especially mystery rashes that don't seem to have any origin, can often be associated with an overtaxed liver. And so if you have congestion there, it's going to back up somewhere. So it's possibly due to not necessarily an allergy per se, but it's a toxin load.
Sensitivity.
Okay. And then another doctor mentioned that the patch tests were not really that... effective. He said what you really need to do is get blood work done to test for allergies. I've not heard of that before.
Well, the patch test that you're describing is looking for what's called a type 4 allergic reaction, more of a contact reaction, is what we test with the patches.
Okay.
The scratch test that we do in the office is looking more for the environmental rhinitis type allergies. So when they were looking with the patch test, they were probably looking for a contact allergy. One of the things that I find frequently in my office is we see a lot of patients who come in to be treated for their allergies, and we find fairly quickly that what they're dealing with is not allergic in nature. There's a lot of different other pathological processes that can present similarly to allergies, especially rashes. Rashes can be from a multitude of different pathogens or pathologies. And if the allergy testing was negative, maybe it's time to assume that it's not an allergy and something else is going on.
Okay, and then similar, the allergist last year stated that he thought what might be going on is, he says, you have a low-grade bacterial infection. Mm-hmm.
It's a possibility. Like I said, there's a multitude of different things, and sometimes it's just a question of being able to figure out what the right test or right protocol is to figure it out.
And possibly the blood work would help facilitate getting a better answer then.
Well, it depends on the blood work you're getting.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call today, Anna. We appreciate it. Now we're going to go to Forrest from Las Vegas. Good morning, Forrest. Forrest, are you there? Okay, we'll move on to Kitty in Santa Fe. Good morning, Kitty.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question for us today?
Well, actually, I have two questions. One is, if the problem is the immune system is overactive, why are we doing all sorts of things to boost the immune system? If it's the overactive immune system responding to these threats from the outside, wouldn't boosting it cause more of an overreaction? And then the second question has to do with the neti pot and the idea of pathogens. If you're drinking city water, aren't you assuming that there are no pathogens? If you're drinking it, shouldn't it be safe to use in a neti pot? I'm wondering, I mean, with well water, yeah, I can see distilled water instead of well water. But isn't city water that's been treated okay for the neti pot? Okay? Two questions.
Yeah, right. Those are good questions.
Well, to address the first issue that with the boosting of the immune system, as I mentioned earlier, the immune system has multiple parts, and what we're boosting is actually going to be combating the part of the immune system that's overacting. In addition, in my office, some of the treatments we're using, like the nasal steroids and such, are slightly decreasing that part of the immune system that's overreacting. So we're kind of addressing it from both directions. Mm-hmm. The immunotherapy we use is retraining and boosting the immune system so that it doesn't attack those allergens.
Is it possible to do something at home to boost the immune system that's actually going to make your allergies worse?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought because, yes. You know, along with that, you think, okay, well, here I am doing all of these different things, and am I actually, you know, making things worse? And so it is a good thought. The idea is, you know, if you're starting to detox your body, so to get rid of the excess of allergens or kind of pathogens in the body, you're going to give your body a fighting chance to recognize what is a pathogen and what isn't a pathogen, you know, what is an allergen, what isn't, because if it comes into that hyperactive state, then everything is worrisome. So a lot of it is actually pulling a lot of those things out of the body, making its defenses so that it recognizes, okay, is this friend or foe, and so that it can actually start to self-regulate. So doing things at home, you know, I understand your concern, but I would say, you know, if it's something along those lines, you know, really bring it to somebody, you know, bring the different remedies and things that you're using at home to a doctor, you know,
exactly.
And or to your herbalist and say, okay, this is what I'm using, you know, is this good for me, or should I maybe reconsider this?
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call this morning, Kitty. I want to move to Rosemary from Placitas. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
What's your question for us?
We have a lot of juniper up here, of course, so, you know, we're inundated with that. And I use a local product that's formulated right here in Albuquerque that seems to help. It's called Algena. Allergena. And they have it, it's called Zone 6. Mm-hmm. It's like northern New Mexico and then the Four Corners. And then, of course, they have one for mold, which is an offender for me. I have asthma. And that's just one comment. And then I wanted to comment about a program called Living on Earth. Last year or two, I heard a discussion about our environment and plants. And one of the things that came up was the extensive use of nitrogen around the world in commercial
farming. Well, we're coming to the end of the hour today, and I want to point people to our website where you can find links to all of these organizations. Thank you for joining us today on the KUNM Call-In Show, Dr. Richard Walks of Breathe America, Dr. Reba Eagles of Original Medicine Acupuncture and Wellness, and Dr. Monica Lucero of Red Root Acupuncture and Herbs. If you missed any of our program or if you would like to share it with friends, the audio of this show will be posted to our website, KUNM.org, where you can also find previous call-in shows. Thanks to Jefferson White, our engineer today, Kaveh Movahed screened your calls, Anna Landy live-tweeted the show, Elaine Baumgartner is our executive producer. The show is part of KUNM's Public Health New Mexico Project. It's funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation and the Cone Alma Health Foundation. I'm Marisa DeMarco. This is KUNM.